Well, imagine that you have an upcoming class that you have to take for school. It's going to be a challenging class. You're not really looking forward to it, but you're going to have to take it. And you're fretting about it. And imagine if a friend came to you and said, listen, I have a secret that's going to enable you to pass that test. How many of you think you would listen to your friend's secret? Well, you'd better believe it. In fact, our young people, when school starts, maybe you'll have a friend that'll help you with some of the classes you have upcoming in the fall. We're in a series entitled Adversity University, Higher Learning Through Life's Difficulties. God has given us such a wonderful truth that's been our theme from the pen of the prophet Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, today, we're going to study a man who knows a secret of how to pass the tests that come when you are enrolled in Adversity University. It's a self-autobiography, it's an autobiography of him telling his own story about the secret that he found to endure adversity in a way that honored the Lord and allowed him to get a passing grade when he's enrolled in Adversity University. The man's name is Paul. The passage where he tells his story is found in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. So turn with me in your New Testament to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And when you find the chapter, you'll want to find verse 7, and we'll read through verse 10. Second Corinthians chapter 12, I'll begin reading in verse 7, and we will read through verse 10. And the Apostle Paul begins his story of a time of adversity. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, what is the secret to getting a passing grade when you are enrolled in Adversity University? And are you ready for God to reveal it to you? And are you ready to avail of the grace of God to help you in the midst of your time enrolled in Adversity University? Let's pray and ask God to answer those questions for us. Now, Lord, here's a man that has had a life experience from which we can learn. You've inscripturated it so that there is an eternal record that you have given people that they may know you and know your help in time of adversity. So we're asking, Holy Spirit, that you, by your gracious power, would teach us the secret and deal with us as individuals. So as a preacher, I yield to the enabling of the Holy Spirit to preach the Bible. As a hearer, Lord, I want you to speak to me as a hearer. And then on behalf of our congregation, may we all be hearers, and we ask, Holy Spirit, for you to do your work. We yield to you for it and believe you for it, for we ask this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Apostle Paul begins telling his story about when he was enrolled in Adversity University by telling us first about the problem of adversity. We'll read it again in verse 7 of the passage of chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, what was this thorn in the flesh? Well, some think that it is a particular temptation, an area in which the Apostle Paul just had a very personal struggle. The author of Hebrews describes this very thing when he tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, that of the sin that doth so easily beset us, that this is just a personal challenge and battle that he had in his spiritual life. And so for him, it was just a very difficult area of life. Now, there are some who believe that this was a physical trouble. Potentially, it could have been a vision problem. Galatians chapter 6, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says that he writes this letter and he writes it with his own hand. Sometimes he had other people that would write the words that he dictated to them. But he writes it with his own hand. You have seen how large a letter I've written unto you with my own hand. And he had written it with big letters. It's like it's the first large print Bible. And those of you that have, you know, you need a large print Bible, right? Okay. So whatever it is, whatever was happening, this was a thorn in the flesh. And it was something that was so significant to him that he just dealt with it daily in his life. And when you think of the term thorn, do not think of the little thistle that you happen to get a little stuck in your hands when you're pulling weeds in your garden. When you think of a thorn, the term that's used here, think of a stake-sized thorn, a nail-sized thorn. So Paul has this thorn in the flesh, a difficulty that put him in adversity university. Well, where did it come from? You'll notice that the Bible tells us that this was a messenger of Satan. Now, God allowed Satan to bring this attack on him in some way in his life. Now, whenever we in the series met Job, Job also knew what it was to be under satanic attack. And God even told Job, now, told Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And Job, remember the account? Satan said, well, the only reason he honors you is because you've given him so much success and prosperity, wonderful family. That's the only reason. And God says, okay, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to let you do. I'm going to let you take away his wealth, take away his family. And let's see what he does. And he honored the Lord, even though he lost everything. And then Satan comes to the Lord and says, the only reason he didn't turn his back on you is because you didn't touch him physically, personally. And if you do that, he'll turn his back on you. And so Satan attacked him physically, and yet he still didn't turn his back on God. So that Satan, only under God's permission, can attack somebody even physically. And the Apostle Paul had this challenge in his life, this thorn in the flesh that God allowed Satan to bring into his life. Now, how bad was it anyway? Well, this messenger of Satan, the Bible says, is a messenger of Satan to buffet me. The term buffet means to punch in the face. When Jesus was arrested by the Jews, and then he was turned over to the Romans. And the Romans, before they took him to the cross, the Romans abused him as well. Matthew 26, 67 tells us that then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hand. So that when Jesus was being punished, he was being spat upon, he was being slapped in the face, but he was being punched in the face. And the Apostle Paul uses this very same term, and he says, this challenge that I'm running into, my problem in adversity, it's like I just keep getting punched in the face. How many of you have had that in a time of adversity, and you felt like every day is just get up again, I'm going to be punched in the face today? You know what that's like? Such was the problem in adversity . Well, why would God allow this in his life? Why would God allow him to go through such a time of adversity? Well, God tells us the reason in verse 7 why he was allowing this in the Apostle Paul's life. Look in your Bible again. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Now, in this time in which Paul's writing, the scriptures have not been fully written. In fact, they're being written. The Old Testament is already written. But in this time of transition, the Bible is being written. And so what God does is God gave, at that time of transition, he gave gifts, men with gifts, that Paul was an apostle, there are others called prophets, in which God would speak directly to them, and then they would communicate what God would say to the churches. Now, sometimes those messages were spoken messages that God, this is what God says about this matter. Other times, those were written messages. In fact, that's what this is. This is God revealing his word to the Apostle Paul. And God had given Paul, because of his role as an apostle, he had given him such a place of honor and great responsibility that God would speak directly to him and he would then communicate God's word and God's truth to others. But as all this happened, Paul got to think a little more of himself than he really thought. It's like, whoa, it's about, look at me. And God said, wait a minute, it's not about you. And the wonderful privilege and opportunity that God gave him turned into a spiritual battle in his pride. And so he begins verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure. And then in case we didn't get it, he ends verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure. So we're told about the problem of adversity, but then we're told about the purpose of adversity. Why was it that God allowed pain in his life? Why was it that God brought this thorn in the flesh? Why was it that God allowed Satan to do this in the Apostle Paul's life? There was the problem of pride. So God was dealing with his heart of pride. How many of you think that God has to still deal with people according and deal with our heart of pride? You don't need to turn there, but I'm going to turn in my Bible to the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Listen to what God tells us about pride. Proverbs 8, 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way. And the froward or perverse mouth do I hate. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Listen to what God tells us about pride when he tells us, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty and arrogant spirit before a fall. And then in the New Testament, God shares this with us about pride in the book of James chapter 4, verse 6. James 4, 6, where God says this, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Charles Stanley, speaking of pride and adversity, writes this, God does not help the proud, he does not encourage the proud, he does not assist the proud, he resists the proud. Now, why is it that God allowed such pain, adversity in the apostle's life? Because God had to continually break Paul's pride. So he allowed adversity. Now, does that mean that every time there's an adversity that God is dealing with our pride? Not necessarily, but have you ever considered that one of the reasons that God may allow adversity in your life is because God may be bringing adversity into your life to confront your pride? So for Paul, as he tells his story, he tells us about the purpose for adversity. God was working in his pride. And remember, God does resist the proud. Well, beside the problem of adversity and then the purpose of adversity, you'll notice something else that God tells us about as Paul's telling his personal story, his life story about adversity in his life. And he tells us about the pleading in adversity in verse 8. Look at your Bible now, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, "For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me." Greek scholar A.T. Robertson describes the grammar of this, and he writes that this is a definitive request. This is saying, "God, would you please get this out of my life?" How many of you have ever heard the expression, a come-to-Jesus meeting? You ever heard that? How many of you parents have had a come-to-Jesus meeting with your kids? Oh, yeah. That means that when you get really serious about something and you confront it very strongly. Well, the Apostle Paul said, "I had a come-to-Jesus meeting." Three times I had a come to Jesus meeting, and I came to Jesus and I said, "Jesus, would you please get this out of my life? Would you remove this from me? I'm done with it. I'm tired of it. I can't take it anymore." This is not a man that was unfamiliar with adversity. In fact, he even earlier tells another testimony about adversity in the previous chapter. I won't read his entire testimony, but you talk about a guy that has a difficult life. I'll start reading in verse 23 of chapter 11. Because some were saying, "Well, the only reason that you're so faithful to God is because you've had such an easy life." Well, of course you're going to be faithful to God when you have such an easy life. But the Apostle Paul says, verse 23 of chapter 11, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes or beatings above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, out in the open sea. And journeyings often in perils and waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often in hunger and thirst, and fastings often in cold and in nakedness." Whew. This is a man that knows what it is to live a difficult life. But there's something about this thorn in the flesh. There's something about it that is so personal. There's something about it that is so significant that three times he has this come to Jesus meeting and says, "Lord, I've been through an awful lot for you, but would you please take this one away from me?" And of all the things that God would answer, you think, how do you think he answered? Well, God's answer each time he asked for the Lord to stop it is found in verse 9. "He said unto me," look in your Bible, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, this is God's answer to you and me anytime we go through adversity. God's answer is the power of grace in adversity. The power of grace in adversity. I'm not going to remove it from you, Paul, but I'm going to give you something that even is better than removing it. I'm going to give you grace that's always enough in the midst of even this very difficult time of adversity. And what a wonderful reassurance. "My grace is sufficient for thee." Oh, what is grace? Oh, grace, as you know, I've told you 1,000 times before, is when God gives opportunity I don't deserve and power I don't have. And so it is that the Apostle Paul, as we are who know Christ, and if you don't know him, you can be, we are saved by grace. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." grace, that God in grace reaches out to a condemned world, and he reaches out to a condemned person like me and like you. In grace, the Savior came. In grace, Jesus gave his life's blood. In grace, he rose in power. In grace, he is the only way for men and women to be reconciled to God. And in grace, he offers each man and woman the opportunity to know his saving power by faith. Have you ever received Christ and the grace that saves? Friend, this is your day to receive Christ and know his saving grace. But not only does grace save, but grace is sufficient. And the Apostle Paul, knowing the saving grace of God, goes through such a difficult time. And God says, here's what I want you to know, that you're at a place where you're beyond your own power. You can't handle this on your own. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you power that you don't have to help you to endure it. Sufficient grace, and it's always enough, so that the power is continually increased as the weakness grows. So whenever I'm in a time of adversity, you're in a time of adversity, and you're getting weaker and weaker and weaker. As you get weaker and weaker and weaker, here's the wonderful thing. The grace of God becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. My resources get depleted, and the further they're depleted, the grace of God provides help. So there's this wonderful dynamic that takes place in your life, whatever the adversity, whatever the level of difficulty, that as you seek the Lord's help, that His grace is always just enough. It's the dynamic of my power and God's power, because my power is never enough, but his power is always enough. And when I need a little bit of power, then he gives a little bit of grace. When I need a lot of power and help, he gives a lot of grace. So there's always enough grace. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When we get in a real difficulty and we're weak, there's always enough grace. Have you ever been in a spot where there seems to be no way out? May I tell you that there is grace for you? He says, there's no way out. There may seem to be no way out except that God in grace will help. Maybe you're in a spot where you say, boy, I've tried everything. I've done all that I know to do, and my human wisdom is depleted. Oh, but there's always enough grace. And if you'll ask God for his grace, it will be enough. He said, well, I have to have this and I need this. And you lay out the case, and I can tell you that God's grace is always enough. This is the secret to passing the class when you go through adversity university. The secret is that God's grace is always enough. And so when Paul grasped this reassurance that the Lord told me that his grace is sufficient for me, no matter how weak I am, his strength is enough. And he makes this response again in verse 8. Look at the Bible when the Bible says, or verse 9 rather, most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is the sign of unparalleled grace, when I can glory. Because I'm weak. I understand the weakness that I have. I understand that I'm at the end of myself. I understand that don't see any way out. I understand that all the resources are depleted. But I can glory in this because I know that God's grace will be enough. I may not enjoy where I am, but I can glory because today, when I need God's help for today, his help is enough. Now, you do not have to go through adversity to live this way. In fact, that's the way we ought to live. And I wonder if that's the way you live. That whatever it is, and the normal things of today, whatever it is in the out-of-the-way things of the day, the unexpected things of the day, that you live in such a way that you're really aware and asking God, would you please help me today? I need your grace. I need your grace in all these areas. This is the way we ought to live and should live and can live all the time, but there's something about adversity that brings our focus into this, and we are so aware that today I need God's power because I can't make it without him today. Oh, that's the secret. The secret is the power of grace in adversity. It comes not in strength, but in weakness. And it may be that for you to finally come to a place of weakness is where God's bringing you, because there he can liberate you and reveal his power. You've done it on your own. But he's brought you to weakness. So Paul tells his story, and oh, he's told us about the problem of adversity, and all of us could tell our story about the problem of adversity. He tells us about the purpose for adversity. God was working in his life to deal with a very particular problem that he had. He tells us about his pleading in adversity and the power of grace in adversity. And then the Apostle Paul ends this very short autobiography about a time of suffering in his life by telling about the pleasure of adversity. Now, when you think of adversity, what words come to your mind? I wonder, did you think of the word pain? Anyone think of the word pain? That's what I thought of. I think of the word avoidance. I want to avoid adversity. But you know the word that came to Paul's mind when he thought about the adversity in his life? I don't know if it's been on your list, but look in your Bible, verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. How many of you had on the words that you thought of with adversity, how many of you thought pleasure? No? So he makes this resolve. Whatever it is, the adversities that come into my life, I'm going to make this resolve that I will take pleasure in this. Well, how do you explain that someone would take pleasure in adversity? The only way I can explain it is the grace of God in a person's life. Because it is from this resolve that he comes to this realization in the midst of his adversity. Look in your Bible, verse 11 again. I glory that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I find the pleasure because I know that just to make it through this day, I can't do it on my own. I get to experience the power of Christ. In my weakness, I get to learn and know the supernatural working of God to give me strength that I do not have by his grace. And so this time of difficulty, though, he even asked the Lord, Lord, would you remove it? He came to this point that he said, I find in this pleasure because through it I'm experiencing the power of God's grace. Well, have you reached that point with the adversity in your life? I'm finding pleasure because at the very least, and really it's the most of anything I could ever expect or want, the pleasure that I'm experiencing the day by day supernatural power of the eternal God working in me just to get me through that day. That's awesome. It's awesome. How many of you would know the name Louis Zamperini? Anyone know the word Louis? Okay, some of you know Louis Zamperini. All right. Louis Zamperini was an Olympic athlete. He was went into the war effort in World War II. He was an airplane pilot. He crashed his airplane in the Pacific Ocean. How's that? The Pacific Ocean. For 45 days, Zamperini was adrift on a raft in the Pacific Ocean. He eventually was rescued, but he was rescued by the Japanese. He was taken to a prison camp, and there he was treated in ways that are indescribable and inhumane. Particularly, there was one guard that singled him out for just the most inhumane things that are just unspeakable. And yet, in the midst of all of it, his spirit was unbroken. In fact, the movie about it, if you've seen the movie about it is entitled that. It's entitled Unbroken. It's based on a book that he wrote about his life. Eventually, we win the war. He is released from his state as a prisoner of war. And he comes home. But his journey did not end in coming home. He came home, but he was not the same man. He was adjusting to life. But he was just the memories of it and the horror of it. And it drove him to drink, to find escape. He would, at night, he would have nightmares and would wake up and he would find that he was putting his wife in danger because of the nightmares. And it was putting a strain on him. It was putting a strain on his marriage. His wife is ready to leave him for their marriage to be over. And he went to an evangelistic crusade, and there a preacher preached the gospel that Jesus Christ can save anyone who comes by faith to him in his grace. And there Louis Zamperini was saved by grace. And as he began to, after he was saved by grace, he began to grow in the Lord and in grace. He experienced what it was to be solely saved by grace, but as he began to grow, he experienced what it was to be sufficiently sustained by grace. And he finds the power of God in victory over alcohol. The nightmares fade. All the other responses that he had that were such a detriment to his life and to his marriage are broken by the grace of God. And if you watch the movie, you see all of this, but you really don't know the untold story of the movie Unbroken. The book tells the story, but the untold story of the story Unbroken is that what changed his life was the power of grace. And such is the secret of adversity. When God gives me power that I don't, or opportunity I do not have, or opportunity I do not deserve, and power I don't have, that's the secret to getting a passing grade in adversity. I wonder if you know the power of grace. I'm going to ask you to bow your head for just a moment.